man, I'm grateful. It's really cool to have my first priority friends here. I've been getting to know you guys for a little while, a lot of you, on Thursday mornings. How many of you excited for the summer break? Right? Okay, everybody. Yeah, everybody's excited. I used to long for that as a student. I remember those days, just going through school. And especially after this last year, guys, 2020, huh? Right? Like, it was a tough one. It was a bad one. I know you guys must be tired. And all of that stuff just carried over into this year all the same. I've experienced that with having kids that are in middle school and intermediate school, getting to see what you guys go through, right? All the new rules with the mask and social distancing and not being able to be near each other in the halls and then all the contact tracing. And if somebody gets something in your class, I don't know if it happened to you guys, but my kids, they got sent home so much. I think they spent more time at home because of the people that potentially they could have caught COVID than they actually spent in the classroom. We had to learn as parents how to do the live learning on the computer, and that was rough, and not everybody's used to that. We've experienced frustrations in our country, and I know that you guys aren't immune to it. I know you hear about it. At least you hear about your parents watching the news religiously, watching what's going on, all the crazy stuff going on in society, right? The frustrations in our country and the craziness. All of your normal routines have been up in the air, right? and you've had a lot of COVID scares, and there's just been a lot of new standards of morality from our society that have been ushered in, new ways that people are looking at the world, and it can be confusing, right? And we know that just with the whole mask situation and everything that happened with the new rules that people put into place last year, all of a sudden, there's new levels of judgment coming on you from every angle, right? Like, some people in the society really want you to wear a mask and in order to love others. Some people don't want you to wear a mask because they want you to stick up for our freedom, right? And if you take one stance, you're alienating yourself from the other side, right? That could be confusing. Like, who do I want to be judged by? And who am I going to subscribe to? And who am I going to follow? Right? And it's been a confusing time. A lot of that stuff, plus just the normal pressure that you have every day as a student. Am I making you guys stressed out yet? Normal pressure that you guys have, being athletes and dealing with the weird schedules with games and games being canceled and rescheduled and having to play a bunch of games quickly in a short period of time, you know, plus the normal practice routines and just grades. All of a sudden, you're not going to class as much, but you're still getting graded. You're not hearing from your teachers, and if you're used to learning that way, you're not used to studying in on your own all the time, man, that could be hard. You're going to get graded on it. And that's a new norm for you, all right? So I'm sure with all of these new pressures and all of the normal pressures, your spiritual backs must be hurting right now under the weight of everyone's expectations in the world, right? And it's time for some rest. It's time for the summer. And it's pretty cool that we get to have a summer break. It's coming up. And you guys, if you're like me, you get to sleep in and do what you want. I got to sleep in all the time. I just slept till 12. I stayed up late, ate Taco Bell every day of the week. I like Taco Bell. And played video games, did what I wanted to do, and slept in, hung out with my friends, I lived in Florida, went to the beach, went to the pool, and got to do what I wanted to do, rest by the pool. And you guys are going to get to do some of that stuff. Just spend your time the way you want to spend it. And it's going to be awesome, guys. And I encourage you, get rest, have fun, enjoy it, and get rested up. Because sadly, it's only going to last a couple months. You're going to be right back at it again here soon. Not to make you depressed, but it's going to be back. You're going to have a new normal again. You're going to do it all over again before too long. And you'll be longing for the winter Christmas break. You'll be longing for summer again. And you'll repeat that cycle over and over and over again through college and through all of your years if you go to college. And you'll be longing for that until you get to be an adult. And then I want you to know that it changes. Because what happens is no longer as an adult do you get the summer break and the summer rest. Did you guys know that? Like, parents don't get that kind of thing in order to pay the bills, they have to work. And what happens is, instead of having a summer break, you get a summer vacation, which is usually a week, right? If you have the money and you can afford to go and take the time off, if you have the days, right? Or if you can afford to ask off and just do without pay. Or here's the thing, you could ask off, but you might not have the money to go on summer break. So like, if you're like me, I haven't been on a spring break or a summer break for about 10 years. And I have 6 kids, and that's my new norm. So I've got to find a different way to find rest, right? And a way that it can last. Well, what if I told you that there's a type of rest today that will totally satisfy you, that's available to you, to all of you? And it doesn't stop there. What if I told you that you were made for it? You were made for this. This is your purpose if you know God. And this is the type of rest that will last forever. It'll never end. It'll be awesome. It'll go on and on and on and on. Right? Well, Jesus himself gave away a secret to this forever satisfying rest in Matthew 11, 25 through 30. So we're going to be there. And I want you to turn on your smartphones. We have Bibles, paper Bibles, actually, guys. We have paper Bibles that you can use if you want to in seat backs. You don't have to. You can use whatever you want. Everything's welcome here. We're going to be in Matthew 11. Turn there. Okay, here's some background before we read it. Okay? So in Jesus' day, with the Israelites, in his time, in his ministry, everyone in society was trying to find this forever type of rest from the problems of the world. And believe me, there was problems. The Israelites had experienced persecution and suffering ever since their existence. They were a persecuted nation that went through crazy, hard turmoil, slavery for hundreds of years to the Egyptians, different times where they didn't have a homeland, and they were wandering around having to rely on God. And different times where they were conquered, different times when people were trying to take them out. All right. Not only that, as a people, they were punished, but they also lived in a sinful world, just full of people that wanted to do harm to one another and wanted to murder one another and steal from one another. That's why the Ten Commandments came about, because God wanted to give them laws to follow that could better society and take care of one another. So they were just like us in so many ways, living in a fallen world. Okay? And they were trying to find this rest from their problems. They just defined it differently than summer break. They were trying to find out how to have eternal life, or as they called it sometimes, the eternal rest with God. Eternal rest. Okay? Okay? And they didn't just imagine it to be sleep, game over, like this, close your eyes, everything goes black and there's nothing, this abyss. They didn't imagine it to be that, where you never wake again. Kind of like I remember my summer breaks being back in the day, where I would sleep in blackness for weeks at a time. No, but forever. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. Okay? It was not like an eternal rest and slumber. It was a lot like an eternal summer vacation, where you truly actually are alive for once, all right? It's amazing. Where you could be with God forever, knowing him, not separated like we are now. We can know the God of the universe, the person who created you and knitted you together in your mother's womb. You could ask him questions and say, why did you do what you did? Why did you do those things? You can have a conversation with him and walk with him. A place where there's no more struggle, no more wars, no more enmity and fighting, no more sickness, no more death, no more intense backaches like the one I've got right now. Like physically, I just turned 40 and I threw my back out. Evidently that happens, and that's normal. Good luck, guys. It's coming for you. I have one right now. Everybody messes with me about it. I'm halfway there now, by the way, okay? No more relationship struggles and backbiting. Where we have perfect bodies and we get to explore the new heaven and the new earth that God promises he's going to make. And for all of us who are children of God, where we can be reunited with family members that have gone on and passed away before us, a perfect place, perfect bodies, perfect people, with all the time in the world to do whatever our hearts desire. And by the way, we're going to have perfect hearts that don't struggle with rejecting God, don't struggle with sin, that aren't prone to shame and guilt because we're free of it. Pretty cool stuff, right? They wanted this type of forever satisfying rest that can be only found in God after this life. That's what they're longing for, okay? So how are they trying to get it? How are they trying to get this eternal life? They were just trying to earn it on their own merit. Do a lot of really good things to one day have it. They were doing their best to be perfect on their own. Any of you ever tried to be perfect? Raise your hand. I've tried. Anybody tried to be perfect? Okay. Anybody succeeded? I'm going to put my hand down. Okay. This guy, the only guy up in here. No, he's joking too. You're joking, right? Okay, he's joking. Okay. you have me scared there for a minute. Yeah. Right. Like we can't, we know, like you can't. And they were trying and they couldn't either. Right? And so, newsflash, you can keep trying for the rest of your life. It's never going to happen. You're never going to be able to earn this type of rest. Okay? And the Israelites tried really hard to keep what they called the Ten Commandments from Moses and all the old laws of the Old Testament. And you even had these Pharisee guys that you hear about in the Bible that Jesus always spoke out against. These guys that were religious leaders and teachers who in order to try to keep the law, which they claimed to have kept, right? They claimed to be kind of perfect in keeping the law. They actually added new laws that they held people to. Right? And they wanted, they added them and added them and added them so that in an effort to keep everybody from actually doing what's wrong. But what they actually did is they created a bunch of new stuff that put a burden on the people to keep not just God's law, but new laws that were made up. And there's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of them that everybody in the world was confused. Okay, like how, which ones am I supposed to keep? Which teachers am I supposed to follow? That's the backdrop, right? It gave them many more things to fail at. And before you know it, everyone's spiritual backs were hurting all the time, bending under the weight of social pressure, the expectations from their leaders and peers, and added to the fact they had a lot of true guilt and shame from breaking actually God's law that he did speak, rejecting God as king of their lives and sinning, right? So they had real shame and false shame that came from others. They can never be perfect. They would never meet God's standard of holiness. And the Bible says that the wages of that sin, that rejection of God as king, is death. And they were destined to die apart from God with no heavenly rest or eternal suffering. Only eternal suffering, so much worse than this world can offer in hell. And they were, I say hell, they were hell-bent on trying to get this weight off of them, but it was too heavy for them to bear and carry on their own. So, right in the middle of this mess, right in the middle of the struggle, right in the middle of the spiritual backache, trying to do everything they could do to earn God and earn this rest, Jesus shows up and he comes and he brings this secret to another way. You know, it's the only way to find this true rest, okay? So we're gonna read about it right now. I'm gonna read it, Matthew 11, 25. And I have 3 points that we're gonna talk about and then we'll respond after that. Verse 25 says this, "At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise,'" the secret, right? "'The wise and learned, and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.'" In these verses, he reveals the secret, the hidden things of God, the way to have eternal rest in him. And here's the first way. The first secret for having this forever satisfying rest starts with, number one, being humbled. Being humbled, okay? It says this in 25. At this time, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord in heaven, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned. So, not the proud, not the arrogant, not the people that thought they knew everything, not the people that were making all of the rules that everybody should follow and judging everybody and holding them to it. Not those people. You've revealed these things to the little children, he says. Okay? And it says the Father was pleased to do it. All right? Think about how Jesus interacted with children. These little guys and little girls would come up to him and the disciples would say, hey, quit bothering Jesus. And Jesus would say, hey, suffer not the little children to come to me. They have a place with me. And he would just spend time. He would humble himself, get on his knees, teach them, interact with them, love on them, hear from them. It was the little children that didn't know any better. You know, like have you ever been around a really famous person before? Have you seen a celebrity walking around? Anybody ever seen that? Like celebrity walking around? Did you go up to him and try to talk to him? Okay, some people do, and they try to get autographs. A lot of people, they're like, whoa, he's going to think I'm crazy. I'm not going to go up. I'm just going to take pictures from around the corner. You know, like we do that kind of thing. Because we're like, hey, they're high and mighty. Like, I don't want to approach them. What little kids do? Little kids, they don't know any better. They just bust through the crowd. They run up to people like, I know you. I see you on TV. You know, like they're just getting after. They don't know any better. They're innocent, right? They approach God. And they're humble in that they're not high and mighty in their knowledge, and they're not high. They don't know anything other than I want to know this person. I want to be known by them. They're humble, right? You have to become like a child, right? And this is what God's always trying to do for us. He's trying to, it says, to have eternal life, you have to be born again, which means you have to be a person that forgets about everything that you've known before God, and you have a blank slate, and you become innocent, and a person that's humbled to the place where you know that you need God, and you're ready to receive him. What God does often is he humbles people through their circumstances. Often. Okay, God's a loving God and he's gracious and merciful. He allows, like Trevor kind of alluded to, he allows you to go through trials that test who you are and test what your faith is in. So many times people, when they go through the trials of life, they find out who their God really is. And they find out if their God really can come through or not. Okay, so if your God was money last year, did that God come through? not for many people, right? Not for many people. If your God was your work, did your God come through last year? No. So many people lost their job more than in a long time, right? If your God was medicine, modern medicine to keep you alive, did your God come through? Didn't come through last year. Right? So there's so many things that we make God in our life, career, aspirations, people that have spent their life pursuing, building up this business and becoming this high business person, businesses that were thriving, done last year, done. The God of success and affluence failed so many people last year, right? So the test of the trial revealed who their God was, and then tested whether or not that God would come through. That God didn't come through, right? For those of us who are Christians, what's really cool is when we go through circumstances, we have a God that always comes through, and he always looks out for those who love him and works things out for the good of those who loved him or called to his purpose. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have a God like that who's always come through throughout history and will come through, came through last year. We're still all sitting here. God provided for us. You know, we all had meals, most of us. And I'm not saying, I don't know all of the situations, but so many of us, I mean, you had enough meals to be here today, right? He provided. He's come through. Even though there were some really hard things that I know many of you went through, he sustained us, right? Okay, so we're here. But what God's doing in the midst of trials is he's trying to expose the false gods that you rely on and expose the fact that you need a God that's always going to come through. and he's ready to be it. And he calls to you in those moments, okay? I often pray when people are far away from God that God will humble them to a place where they see they need a savior and they need somebody else, where they quit relying on themselves. I often pray that, not because I wish ill upon them, because I know that the only way they're gonna actually be able to receive this true rest and find the secret to eternal life is they got to get down to a humble place where they become like a child and they're ready to receive him. I know that's the only way. The proud never will receive God, okay? Matthew 18, 1-4 says this, in the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, Jesus put him in the midst and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You'll never have this rest. Never. Like, it's a fact. You won't. Whoever humbles himself like this child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We have to humble ourselves. And God is working to help us do that, right? And that's part of the way he calls us, and that's part of the way he reveals truth. Another thing he does in his sovereignty is he humbles us to a place where we need to hear his word, okay? It's no accident that you're here tonight. I'm telling you, God's sovereign. He's orchestrated all of the events of your life, all the events to come and hear his breathed word that he's brought down through his apostles over the course of history. It's no accident that you're here hearing the truth of God, and he wants you to be humble and receive it. And I pray that you are, okay? James 4, 6-10 says this, but he gives more grace. Therefore, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit. Follow, seek him, make him the Lord of your life, submit, whatever he says, I'll do. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, listen to this, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Why? Why? Because you gotta get to this humble state, he says. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. That's what it takes, number one. That's the secret to having forever satisfying rest. You have to, number one, be humbled. Number two, you have to be dependent on God alone. Be dependent on God alone. Okay, it says this in verse 27. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. The secret to eternal life can only be revealed, it says here, to those who know the Son of God, Jesus. Okay? So only people that can have the secret to eternal life, it has to be revealed to him through the Son of God, Jesus. He's the only way. Right? And that knowledge comes from the Father above, who's orchestrating it all, who made you for this purpose, if you put your faith in him. Okay? You can only know the Father is circular through his Son, Jesus, okay, right? And what he's doing here is Jesus is making an exclusive claim of being God in the flesh. That made the Pharisees really mad. They were really puffed up. They thought the Messiah was gonna be something else, and they didn't realize the person that would come to save them was Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus was claiming to be one with God and the only way to heaven and eternal rest. Man, I'm really mad. That's why they killed him on the cross, because he says stuff like this, okay? And listen, the only way that you can believe this truth is God has to reveal it to you. And I'm praying right now already that so many of you, this truth has been revealed to you. Number one, hopefully you're sitting here because you're like, yeah. That's right, God did reveal this stuff to me. But if not, I'm praying that this moment, he will. And I pray for that, seek that. He says, if you seek him, you'll find him, okay? There's so many people that you're gonna run into in life, so many false teachers of other religions and philosophies and the world system, and even false Christian teachers that will say something like this, all religions are the same, all right? They're the same. They lead you to the same God. You're just on different paths. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? They all go to the same place. But it's basically the same stuff. And I want you to tell you, the Bible says that that's garbage. It's completely false. Let me just blow it up for you. Like, run from those people. Galatians 1, 6 through 9 says, I'm astonished you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. That's a different gospel, what I just talked about. It's a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we are an angel from heaven and should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Accursed. As we have said before, now I say again, if anyone preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Is accursed good? All right, we've seen it on movies. Being cursed is always bad. It's never good. It never turns out good for the person being cursed. And the Bible says, if somebody's trying to lead you astray, you little children astray, and trying to distort how you get this rest and distort what the secret is, let him be accursed. It's an exclusive claim, which means that if you believe the Bible, you can't believe there's any other way to heaven and eternal rest except through believing in Jesus. If you believe the Bible is true, this is foundational. And if you don't, wake up. Realize this. Pray that God will reveal it to you right now. Luke 14, 1 through 7 says this. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, Jesus says, there's many rooms. If it were not so, I would tell you. I have to go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I will take you to myself. And where I'm going, you will be there also with me, resting, right, with God. And you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered him and said this, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen me. Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the truth. All the other truth, false. All of the things out there, false. I'm the only truth you need to wrap your life around. And if you do that, I'm the life, eternal rest, promise, right? We have to be dependent on the one true God, Jesus, and believe in him and put our faith in him to have this rest. This is the truth. Romans 10, 8 through 12 says this. Many of you have done this already. Some of you need to tonight. But what does it say? The word is near to you. In your mouth and in your heart, this is the word of faith that we plant. This is it. This is the gospel. This is how you have it. Because if you confess with your mouth, the secret sauce right here, guys. If you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be. Promise. For with the heart one believes and is justified. With the mouth one confesses and is saved. The scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame because he's a God that comes through when he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's not going to fail you like these false gods did last year. There's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter your background. If you call upon Jesus, he will save you. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's it. And the key, it says up there, confess with your mouth that he is Lord. That's the key, guys. Don't miss that. It's not just confessing that he's God, that he is who he says he is. It's confessing that he's your God and he's the Lord of your life, which means Lord, like whatever he says goes. Like, hey, I trust you. You're the one that always comes through. You're the one that defeated death when you rose again from the dead. I put my life in your hands. If you say to do something, even though I don't understand why I should do that, I'm in it. because you're faithful and I trust you. You're the Lord of my life. And you allowed me to overcome all of my sin and to live a life that honors you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but they'll have eternal life. It's a promise. It's a promise. I remember saying this prayer at 8 years old when I was a little kid, and my dad was teaching us in this room. And I remember he told me the gospel all the time. Told me about hell. That was scary, especially when the lights are off in your room in a tent. And there's like a little pale light shining, you know, over there. And it's like, man, it's pretty scary. But he told me the gospel. And I remember having no peace before that moment. And then I just like pondered it for a week. And then I just kept on going to God and said, reveal this to me in my own little childlike way. And then one day God did. And I remember the difference and just having the joy and wanting to like go and call everybody and tell all my relatives, you know, that they had put my faith in Jesus. And it was exciting. But I remember as a child, that's what it took. You know, just being humbled to that place, realizing that I couldn't earn it myself. It's not of works. It's not anything I can do. Lest any man should boast, the Bible says. It was only God. I had to be dependent on him. So, secret to having forever satisfying rest starts with, number one, being humbled. Number two, being dependent on God and no one else. And specifically Jesus, right? And last point, being near to Jesus. Drawing near to Jesus. It says this in verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Right? So he's looking at all these people that have been burdened by society and burdened by the expectations and standards of the world around them, by teachers who were accursed, falsely teaching a different way to God. Right? He's looking at them and say, hey, you guys tired? And they're all tired spiritually and physically in life. Come to me. Come to me. Come on. I'm going to give you rest. It's going to last. Come to me. Basically, quit rebelling against God and running from God. Quit. You've been doing that for far too long. You've been making yourself God for far too long, and you're always going to come up short. You weren't meant to be God of your life, right? You can't spin the world around. The world's not your footstool, right? God's determined your destiny. He knows exactly where you're going. He created you for good works beforehand that you would walk in. He knows all those things. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He gave you the gifts that he knew that you would use one day for his glory and his kingdom. He knew all of that. Quit trying to be him and come near to him and trust in him. So he's saying, come near, draw. And he says this, 29, take my yoke upon you and you will learn from me. For I'm gentle, I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Anybody know what a yoke is? Huh? Say it loud. Good try, buddy. I thought that too for so long. I'm like, why is he talking about eggs all of a sudden, right? And I love mine scrambled with cheese, you know? Like I just get like distracted all the time by this. And it's like, no, what did you say, somebody? The spirit? No, it's not that either. These are good tries though, okay? Like it makes sense. I get how you're connecting context. Okay, so have you ever seen an oxen? All right, throw the picture up, if you will. Throw the picture. All right, you see the thing on its back? Okay, it's a yoke. All right, it's an instrument that you put on your back in order to carry a burden. All right, they've got a cart they're pulling that you can't see over there. Big cart they're pulling. They have the yoke on their back. And they're carrying this burden, they're carrying this weight. Okay? Jesus says, put my yoke upon you. This instrument of carrying a burden. Okay? He says. All right, so it sounds weird. Like, hey, we're all tired, Jesus. We're already tired. We're worn out. You want us to put an instrument of to carry another burden? And like carry it around, and like it's your, like you're Jesus. You have like the whole world in your hands right? Like, you're orchestrating it all. Jesus is spinning all the plates in the world, you know, right now at once. He's doing all of that. You want us to put that yoke on us. How is that going to give us rest? You know? And when he's like, hey, see, like, no problem. Well, yeah, for you, Jesus, we know it's light for you. You're God. We get that. We got point number two, right? You're doing it all. Get what he's saying, though. All right, what you need to know, the context of how they trained little oxen back in the day. All right, so there was like this big, strong ox that was able to carry a burden. Big beast ox, like, just, yeah, give it to me. Pull it by himself. What they would do is they would take a little child ox from a young age, they'd stick it up next to this big ox. Can you go to the next picture? Is this it? Okay. This is not even close to what it is. Picture a smaller ox than this. I couldn't find the perfect picture. Smaller ox, little baby ox. And they would stick it up next to the big, powerful ox, and then it would just walk around close to the big ox and carry the burden, right? Pretend like it was carrying the burden. The reality was the yoke wasn't even hardly touching the little baby ox, right? Because the big ox was so much bigger, it was just carrying all the weight. But the baby thought it was doing something, right? Like, it's just like, yeah, I'm walking with the big ox. We're good. I'm carrying it. This is light. Man, this is so easy, right? And then what happened is that we grow, and they get stronger, and they get stronger. And then eventually, like, they're hooked up next to the big ox, and they actually can carry a little bit of weight. And the struggles of carrying the weight, it gets lighter and lighter and lighter. They get to be a powerful ox, and then they would use that ox down the road to train another baby who come along. Think discipleship. All right, if you don't understand what I'm saying, put it on the response card, and I can tell you all about it, okay? All right, so that's what would happen, all right? So, like, when Jesus says, come and take my yoke, he's saying, I'm a really big, big ox, and you're a little baby, because you need to be a baby to believe in me. Become like a child. You just put my yoke on you and quit trying to carry it yourself. Carry the weight of the world yourself. Quit trying to be God of your life. If you trust me, it gets easier, because just let me carry it and I know what to do with it. And you don't know what to do, right? Trust in me, my burden is light. I'm gentle and humble in heart. I'm not going to put you in anything you can't handle, just like you talked about earlier, buddy, right? If you trust in me. Pretty cool stuff, right? So what's it take? What's it take to experience that rest, to quit carrying the burden? You got to get near. You got to be near Jesus. If you seek him, you'll find him. Get near. Get right up close to him, as close as you can get. Get the picture? All right, so unbelievers. People that haven't put your faith in Jesus in this room. You're so busy trying to carry a weight that you were never created to carry, that you're not equipped to carry. You're never going to be strong enough to carry. You can't keep yourself alive. I found this out as a parent. I'm going to tell you. You have one kid, you can kind of safeguard him for a little bit. You get two kids, humility. Like, they're all over. We still have my wife and myself, though, so we can kind of do one-on-one defense. Get another kid, more humble, right? Zone defense. We got to kind of like trust. All of a sudden, you get six. I have six. They're all in the back. There's five right now. There's one more that I can't control right now, and hopefully God's keeping them alive somewhere else, right? And what you realize is, man, I'm so thankful for my parents, but there's no way they did this by themselves. Like, God was the person that kept them alive. He numbered their days. He knows when they're appointed to die. There's no way you can do it on your own. Humility, God, please, just protect them. I don't know what to do. You understand what I'm saying? That's the picture. And unbelievers, that's your reality. You're so busy trying to do something that God can only do. You're carrying a burden that you can't carry. He says, draw near to me. Quit relying on yourself. Humble yourself. Become like a child. Draw near to me. Know that I'm the only way. This is the only way that you're going to have rest. Draw near. put your faith in Jesus, and draw near. Okay. Unbelievers, do that. I'm telling you, the definition of insanity is keeping on doing the same thing and expecting a different result. You've been trying to do this your whole life, and it's only getting worse. And God in his mercy is allowing you to be humbled. Will you be humbled to a place where you look up and say, I need to be saved? Right? There's that. But then believers in the room, I'm going to tell you guys, like, this is not just a one-time event in your life. Okay? All right, so many of us have put our faith in Jesus, and we really did believe, and we experienced that for a little while, but then the trials of life came, and what do? We default back to our old ways, the fleshly way. So all of a sudden, we're relying on ourselves, right? And we start what? Drifting away from Jesus, right? That's like backsliders. We talk about them all the time. All they've done is start trying to make themselves the God of their life without realizing it again, because that's what they're used to, drift away. And the common denominator between all of those people that I'll talk to them, I'll say is, how's your relationship with God? And they'll say, man, I'm struggling. Haven't read my Bible in a while. I know I'm supposed to. You know, I feel bad, shame. Maybe I'll figure it out. Maybe we'll get some time when I stop, stop studying so much. You know, maybe my test will end and I can do it this summer. You know, maybe we'll find some time. You know, like, hey, I got to go YouTube. I'm trying to make money. So do my video comedy routine and trying to make money that way. And, you know, like, I'm really busy doing that and I need to make money somehow with something I love, you know, and I'm going to do that. But I mean, if I find some time, maybe I will. And when is the last time you prayed? Don't remember. I think I prayed before meals, right? When's the last time you've been part of a church family committed, serving other people? Like, yeah, I haven't done that. I'm scared of people. You know, I've been hurt a lot. You know, I'm frustrated with people. I'm having trouble forgiving as Christ forgave me. I'm having trouble doing that. You know, like on and on, there's all the excuses, but like the common denominator in all of it is you've drifted far from, you're not right up next to him, right? And then what happens is you start carrying the burden of the world, and then you get stressed, and then you have panic attacks, right? And you get frustrated, and you lay awake every night when you're supposed to be sleeping. You're worried about everything going on in your life because you've drifted, and there's this block between you and Jesus that you've made. You just walked away. Jesus is there. He stands ready. He's like the prodigal son, father. Come on. Come on, son. Come back. Right? And you've walked away. And so the call for you tonight is you got to get back close to Jesus. Check engine light comes on in a car. What does it tell you? Something's wrong. Something needs to be fixed, right? If you don't pay attention to it, what happens? Car breaks down. Then you get frustrated. Like, why did my car break down? It's like, check engine light came on. Guys, if your spiritual backs are hurting right now, check engine light. Check engine light. Pay attention. You need to get up next to Jesus. Draw near to him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Don't make excuses. Quit making excuses. Turn to him. Got it? That's the answer. That's the secret sauce. That's it. Jesus just told us it. All right? And if he's revealed it to you tonight, you're like, amen, yes, right? And you leave this place and quit doing the same thing over and over again. Man, get spiritual habits in your life. Get close to people who are going to hold you accountable. Get it first priority. Come to our church if you don't have a church. Wayne knows some cool churches that you can be a part of. Get discipled. Start training under Jesus. And he'll make you strong one day to be able to bear more. And eventually you might be people that train others, right? All right? That's the call for believers. If the weight's heavy, it's because you've strayed from Jesus' side. You get back in prayer, Bible study, church family, mission. Quit making life all about you and serve others, you know? That's the answer. So, secret to having forever satisfying rest starts with, number one, being humbled. Number two, being dependent on God alone through Jesus. And then drawing up near to Jesus, taking his yoke upon you. Dear God, we're grateful. We're grateful for this message. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful before time began that you knew we'd be here, that you've been orchestrating the events of our life, just allowing us to see that, man, we can't rely on us. We can't rely on the world. Worldly wisdom is going to fail. We can't rely on the world system. The system guided by the devil, the enemy, he only means our harm. He only means us to miss out on the eternal rest that you promise. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy the rest that you've designed us for in you. This forever, totally satisfying, perfect, eternal life to long for now. Lord, and it has so much implications for here and now, because if we have this life and we truly trust in you and we are truly close to you, you promise to bring us joy in this moment, joy in the pain, joy in the suffering, promise to be our delight, to give us purpose that's bigger than ourselves. You promise all of these things right now, Lord. So I pray for everybody in the room. Lord, I pray that you'll draw and call them, because we know that they can't come to know you without you drawing them. And we can't change without you revealing truth to us. Reveal us the truth that we need, Lord. Help give us the courage to humble ourselves and respond in these moments. Lord, we're so grateful for you. Save someone tonight. Save someone on live stream that sees this. Somebody out there listening. Save them for your purpose. Set them apart to holiness. Help them really, truly overcome the sin. As my brother talked about earlier, it's only in you that we can do that. Help us please you, Father. We want to be like little children that want to please you right now in these moments. Be pleased with our worship. You're searching for people who will worship you in spirit and truth. May people not just sing the songs, but they'll sing with renewed hearts in the next few moments, actual children of God who've called you Lord. May that happen now, and we're grateful. In your name we pray and sing and respond.
We are so encouraged that you chose to engage with God's Word on our Provenance podcast. For more biblical teaching, resources, media, and to financially support the mission of Provenance, please visit ProvenanceChurch.com. Until next time, go equip one another to embody humanity's one true purpose.